Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for another blessing of another day and opportunity to come into your house to worship. We do thank you, Father, for all things, especially our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll forgive our trespasses. Pray, Father, that you'll bless these services and allow us to understand your word and to dwell in your word and to rejoice in your word. And Lord, we pray that whatever we learn, that we will learn it, take it with us, and keep it in our hearts. Thank you for every opportunity, every remembrance we have of you and the things you do for us every day. Bless this church, our sister churches, missionaries everywhere. And Lord, we praise your name for all that's accomplished. Keep us safe from the evils of the world as we start service tonight, Lord. It's our prayer to you. And Father, we just pray that as we move on throughout the service that the word will accomplish everything you want it to. For in Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. Ronnie? We're going to get hold up a second. Sorry about that, a little bit of video problem. If you'll turn your Bibles back to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to now get to our introduction part of this message, which will take most of this service, before we actually get into the meat of that chapter. But we do want to start this evening with some of the scriptures. If you will, go back to verse 1 in 1 Corinthians 12. The Lord says, now concerning spiritual gifts, gifts has been added. So now as concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. What the Lord's saying to us is concerning the spiritual side of you, concerning everything spiritual with you as a Christian, Lord don't want you ignorant. He wants you to understand what he's doing in your life, and he wants you to understand what you're doing in your life spiritually. But he wants you to understand something. And what he wants us to understand is God is in control. A lot of people say that, but they don't mean it. God is in control. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you the understanding that no man speak by the Spirit of God that calleth Jesus accursed. Nobody, not one single solitary Christian will ever call Jesus accursed. If they do, they're not Christians. Idols have to go. Idols is anything that substitutes for the Lord. And a lot of people, they worship a lot of idols. They worship angels. They worship crosses. They worship altars. They worship church buildings. They worship people. They worship pastors. They worship men. They worship women. Anything that takes the place of God, the Son, or the Holy Spirit is an idol. There are no pictures of Jesus. Crosses are useless. Altars are for sacrifices. They're not for anything else. They're for sacrifices. Brother Hammond always told me the last altar of sacrifice was the cross of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. All of that stuff takes the place of Jesus. And how can it do it? Just like some say you had to be baptized to wash your sins away. Our sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus. those people have dumb idols. Lord goes on in that verse, Jesus is cursed, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Not really. Man can say anything, but he's talking spiritual here. And no one can spiritually call Jesus Lord. How did you know when Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was saved? When he asked the Lord, Lord, what will you have me to do? That was big on Saul of Tarsus because he hated the church of Jerusalem. He hated the Lord Jesus Christ. He hated any Christian. So for him to recognize Jesus as Lord told you he was saved. Same thing with us. When we call Jesus Lord, we're calling him our master. We're calling him our Savior. We're calling him our King. Now let's get into verse 4 where it talks about diversities. That's what we're going to talk about mostly in this series. Now there are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit. In other words, we're different. I'm different, you're different, everybody else is different. Your husband is different from your wife. No two people, no two Christians are identical in anything. I've never met another pastor or another minister that I was 100% in agreement with on everything. The more we talk and more we figure out what we believe, the more diverse we see that we are. Some will tell you they are, but chances are great they are not. There are differences, verse 5. There are differences of administration, but same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it's the same God, which works all and in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit by the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the Spirit, same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of the spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one of the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. As he will. Then the Lord gets into the diversity of the body. If you will, turn your Bibles to Colossians 2. So what does the Lord mean when he talks about diversity? The Lord is telling us that what he does for us, it's different. He gives different people in the church different talents. Our job is to utilize those talents. Make sure we use all the talents that the Lord gives us in his church. Our job is when the Lord teaches us a truth, is to believe that truth. And to keep that truth in our hearts, our minds, as we go through our day. A lot of people give God credit for a lot of things. Some weak credit, some real lot credit. But what we have to credit God with is everything. And that's where we fail. Just like our faith, it's weaker than we think it is. We think we have strong faith, but we don't. Amen. We think we're great Christians, but we're not. We think we're well taught, well doctrinated, but we're not. That's why the Lord told us to study, 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 to show yourself approved unto God. I read somewhere this weekend, it might have been Spurgeon, I can't remember who it was. And what they talked about was reading commentaries, reading more commentaries. Said, don't ever stop reading, because you learn the more. Well, problem is, when you read another man's writings, you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful, because the Word of God is what we should be reading. The Word of God is what we should be studying. The Word of God is where the Holy Spirit's going to feed us and teach us from. See, a lot of men, I'm talking strong men in the Lord, ministers, they think more highly of themselves than they ought to. I don't care how great a preacher you are, how good a pastor you are, how well endowed you are in the Word of God. You got to always remember where that came from. You study a lot, you read a lot, you study more, you study a lot, you read a lot more, you're doing good. Because you're utilizing the gifts and exercising to make strong the gifts that God has given to you. But I've always contested that there is a human element to all of this. You don't know what? The human element is the failure of it all. There's only one truth. Word of God. You take all the books. I've seen some preachers show the libraries. I've seen some of the libraries. They're outstanding. I wish I had some of the books they have. Put them right back here in this library the church has. But still, it all comes down to one Bible, one truth. You start taking the words of man over the words of God, you start losing. And what do you lose? You lose the truth of God. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, Lord said, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worship of angels. Now, this is talking about the worship of angels. But I'm just going to get to the part I want to get to. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. I want to look at that last part. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So while this is talking about angelic worship, it's the last part that we want to look at, and that is the vainly puffed up of his fleshly mind, which means by the mind of his own flesh. We like to be built up. You will not find a man on this earth that don't like to be talked well about. that don't like to be bragged on. It's human nature. We live in a world of humans where competition is our greatest asset. Sports is a multi-billion-dollar a year business because we like to fight and win. You ask any hockey person that loves to go to hockey games, what's the best part of the game? They'll tell you the fighting that breaks out. We've made fake wrestling into a multi-billion-dollar business because we like to see people beat up on each other and see who can win. We like to be first in line so we can be first. First on the road so we can be first. It's a competitive nature about us, and that's our puffed up nature. Albert Barnes said, "Yet the mind was full of vain concept, self-confident, and carnal wisdom." When as Christians and as pastors, we ought to be falling down every day thanking God for what we do understand. And praying that God will teach us more. Let me explain this. Best as I can. You're never going to learn it if God don't teach it to you. Christian or not, you're never going to learn anything of the Word of God if God don't teach it to you. Amen. Because our nature, carnal nature, gets in the way. Won't you be glad when we shed this flesh? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Scripture you know well. But I want to make a point here. A scripture we'll probably have 100 times in this study. But there's a point here I want to really make. This was written to the church at Corinth at the end of it by the Apostle Paul as he wrote the first letter. The church at Corinth had a lot of problems. Everybody pretty much knows that, knows anything about Corinthians. But this is Paul getting personal. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." But, and then he goes on and says, "And his grace was not bestowed upon me, his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." In other words, the grace that God gave to me to teach me and learn me and what I was allowed to write and do as a minister of the gospel, I did everything in my power to make sure I did it right. And I say it did. He says, "But I labored more abundantly than they all." That's a pretty bold statement from Paul, don't you think? I labored, and he probably did. I'm going to say if God allowed to be put in his word, the Apostle Paul probably did labor more than all of them. But listen to him as he goes on in the scripture. He says, "Yet not I." He just said, "All the work I did wasn't me. But the grace of God which was with me." Paul just put all of the strength out of himself to give God all the credit He humbled himself and bowed himself to the Lord and said, Lord, even though I worked so hard to accomplish the things I was supposed to accomplish, it wasn't me, it was you. I wonder, and while I was studying this verse, I looked at it and the first thing that hit my mind was, I wonder, when the Apostle Paul wrote these scriptures, wrote these epistles, if Paul actually knew how greatly God was going to use him. Paul didn't know, I don't believe, that when he was writing these letters, he was writing scripture. I'm sure Paul probably wrote a lot more letters than what we have. To men, to churches. And I would say that Apostle Paul, the Lord was putting right here right now, and he could see these letters, he probably break down tears and praise to God. Not that he accomplished so much, but that God accomplished it through him. I wonder if men like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, John Gill, Jameson Fawcett Brown, Arthur Pink, many others, I could say her name, Bunyan, I could say her name them off for hours. I probably couldn't, probably don't have that much memory about me. I wonder if they understand how their work is being used today. I'm going to say every one of them will be shocked. Charles Haddon Spurgeon would probably be dumbfounded to know that we have a library of his books in that office right there. One of the most visited pages on our website is the work of study of Ephesians by Oscar Meek. You know, when Brother Meek wrote that, I think Larry said he preached that series back in the 70s in Mansfield, Ohio. He had no idea that Larry had all the notes. But Larry had every note to every one of those studies. I think there's, 40-something studies, I think? He showed it to me. I said, if you don't mind, I'll take this and redo it. Because it's in typewriter. And Brother Meek, he didn't like to waste anything. So when he finished typing at the end, he holds the page up and typed at the very bottom. Now, I tell me that, and I know that. Didn't even know him, I know that. That's okay. He had no idea when he passed away that would ever be seen again. But thanks to Larry Sabin and that notes, I was able to take that. I couldn't scan it, so I had to redo most of it by hand. That's the reason it's not totally complete. Maybe someday I can find someone to complete it for me or, you know, put it in exactly the way it should be. You should see the original notes. If you see mine and you think, wow, that's awful, you have to see his work. But everything in there is exactly the way he left. And you know, that's the most hit thing on our website. That and the study on Ephesians 2 idea. He'd be shocked to even know we have that. I would love to put it in book form. Where in the scriptures Does God ever credit man with accomplishments? I haven't found one. If you know one, let me know. You know what God credits people with? The things he accomplishes through them. That's why we see Paul so excited to give God all the credit. God don't give us credit. We don't deserve any credit. Jesus told Peter before the cock crows, you're going to lie three times. And he did. And you know what? Peter probably did that and never even really thought about that until the end. That's what we do. I'm not going to go to Ecclesiastes. That's too far over. Let's get started with our introduction here. I got just about enough time to get our introduction in. Go to Romans 12. So that brings us to our study. Both of them this morning and this afternoon were introductions to the introduction. I told y'all before, the more I look at stuff, and my father-in-law warned me of this when I was a young preacher. He said, Randy, when you finish a message, you sit down and don't even mess with it. You add too much to it. If you start out with a 30-minute message, which the preacher's supposed to preach 30 minutes, he said, and you wind up with an hour and a half message. He's probably right. I wanted to go back and talk about God from eternity past and bring God through time. Because the sovereignty of God is, God chose us before the foundation of the world. We don't know when, but we do know it's before anything else was ever created. And God, through time, has done everything for man. People don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit causes them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't do anything ourselves. We do what God allows us to do by the power of God. God is absolute sovereignty. I deserve no credit for anything I've ever did. Unless it was wrong. And that's the credit I deserve. Understanding the power and works of God in the believer. And the diversity of it. We're going to start in Romans 12 in just a second. I firmly believe that it's this single chapter of Scripture that we will find the workings of God by the way of the Holy Spirit. People don't give the Holy Spirit enough credit. You know, he works every day in your life. He works in the things you do for God that are right. He works in your life to teach you. He brings sermons back to your memory. He brings scripture back to your memory. He reminds you of things that you have long forgotten because you need them. He knows your frame. He knows your mind. He knows your heart. He knows everything you need in your day. No pastor can preach, no missionary can preach, no teacher can teach unless the Holy Spirit of God is controlling it. I remember back, Brother Hammond's young ministry, he got off into a seminary got his education. When he got out, he joined the Southern Baptist Convention, like a lot of preachers do. And found out they were giving him messages to preach. And they tell their pastors what to preach on Sunday. I don't know if they still do it, but back then they did. Who are they? Who is anybody to tell a preacher what to preach? I'm not criticizing the other churches what they do. Don't get me wrong in this. I just think it's wrong to give a preacher, a bunch of preachers, a theme for a Bible conference. I know there's a lot of good churches that do that. But I will never, ever, ever give a theme. Because you're telling others what to preach. I believe the Holy Spirit and the workings of Him in us is what we preach. It is the Holy Spirit that works in us, one, to bring us to Christ, two, leading us to baptism and church membership. You're a member of this church because the Holy Spirit put you here. Now, think of this option. You could be on the other side where the Lord didn't choose to put you in a church. There's a lot of Christians out there that's not members of churches. Well, if we're going to believe that God builds the churches and God puts the members in it as He sees fit, which if you read 12 down, you'll see that's true. Then those people that are not part of the Lord's church, even though the Lord may have saved them, were never blessed with being a church member. We're not all blessed the same. The measure of grace is different for every believer. Folks, all I'm trying to say is this. Give God credit where God's due credit. And He's due credit for everything you do in your life as a Christian. You may work hard at it. You may labor more abundantly than most people. As Paul said, I labor more abundantly than they all. But what's the next three words after that? Yet not I. Three, He just brings us to Christ, leads us to baptism and church membership, and three, gives us all as Christians and church members a measure of grace, and Paul spoke about it in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. It is because that God, by His grace, gives every man a measure of grace that we ought to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, making us, I am what I am by the grace of God. And then Paul goes on to say, think soberly. Put this in your mind. Think about it. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has a measure of faith for every Christian. And whatever that measure of grace is that God gives us, that's the diversity of it. Is God choosing to give you one measure of grace? Ronnie here, another measure of grace. Larry, another. Frank, another. Ronnie, another. You sisters all, another one. We're not all the same. You got family that's Christians and church members. Sit down sometimes and sit there and go back and forth with things you believe, and you will find things you disagree on. Because God gives us all a measure of grace in our life. I need to move on. Ecclesiastes 3, if you will. In this chapter, we're going to greater understand God's dealing with the believers in Jesus Christ. We are not all the same. We are different. None of us are perfectly aligned with God in His Word. Christians are like snowflakes. While there are millions of them, they're all different shapes. So are Christians. We're all different in something. Larry's our treasurer because he's a good bookkeeper. Frank does a wonderful job. He got a well education, and he does our books well. Justin does a good job on our song service here. Can they be replaced? Sure, everybody's replaced. Like I said this morning, Ronnie used to do all them jobs. We, as Christians, are very diverse people. God never meant for every Christian nor every church member to be identical. Therefore, God, through the workings of the Holy Spirit, give to us what God has predetermined us to have. See, God had a total understanding in His own mind before the world was ever created, what He wanted you to be in your life. He knew you before you was ever created. He knew you back in eternity past. God has predetermined everything. People that deny that can deny it all they want to. I'm tired of wondering what people think or caring what they think. Let me be honest but bold here. And I said at the start of this, I'll probably make some of my preacher friends mad and might make some of Christians mad, might make some of you all mad. And that's okay. Just tell me in the scripture where I'm wrong. But God never in His word told us to void out other Christians from our worship. I wonder sometimes if we're too strong on some things. We've had some good preacher friends that don't believe exactly like we do, and we won't let them preach here because they're a little different. And I wonder sometimes if I'm wrong in that. Because they have an understanding of what we believe, and they ain't allowed to preach that in our pulpit. You understand what I'm saying? We're Christians, folks. We're all saved by the grace of God. We are eternal brothers and sisters in Christ. And God never tells us to rebuke each other or to destroy each other, or to void out each other on our doctrine. He tells us to love each other, pray for each other, to care for each other. He tells us to stay away from the world. He tells us to stay away from the false preachers, false churches. I just wonder sometimes how right we are on all that, seeing that God sets our bounds. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season. You know what a season means there? The proper and absolute definition from the Strong's Greek Concordance, which I trust very highly, is an appointed occasion. So to everything, there is an appointed occasion, a time to every purpose under the heavens, meaning an appointed time for everything. Our bounds on learning is set by God. Our bounds on learning is set by God. Why? Because we can never understand the scriptures unless God gives it to us. And that understanding must come by the Holy Spirit. One preacher gets mad at one Christian, another Christian gets mad at the preacher because we differ on something. When we differ here in this church. We differ among ourselves. You know, I try to, when I go around men that don't care for me, and there are some, and I'm talking about some Christians, because of what I believe, I get people want to debate with me all the time. I don't debate with people anymore. I don't cast my pearls before swine anymore. It's useless. You can't make someone understand something if the Holy Spirit doesn't teach it to them. That's what I'm saying. You may believe one thing, I may believe another. One of us is right, the other is wrong. You believe you're right, I believe I'm right. What are we going to do? Destroy each other? What kind of Christians is that? And God said in 1 John that if we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not Christians. He didn't say except they believe like you do. Except they're part of your church. Except they're Sovereign Grace Landmark people. Lord didn't give those exceptions and never did in the scriptures, ever. He tells us to keep the leaven out. This means, when he says to everything there is a season, an appointed occasion, a purpose to everything under the heavens, that there's an appointed time for everything. Our bounds on our learning is set by God because we can never understand the scriptures unless God gives it to us through the Holy Spirit. And have you ever wondered why we do not all believe the same? Why we do not all worship the same? Why it is different in every church? It's because God chose us to differ. Think about it. God could have just loaded our brains down with the very same knowledge. Because if everything we believe in this book right here It's absolute truth. We all believe identically, don't we? If all of us are learning by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're all learning the same thing, aren't we? Why does God cause us to have differences? Why is there diversity among Christians and churches? I'll tell you exactly why. That's what God chose it to be. We're going to stop right there because we're out of time.